Come on, if you know Christ will come again, will you give God praise in this place? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Okay, somebody missed it in the back. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. If you came to worship our God, would you give God praise in this place? For the Lord is good. The Lord is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Y'all bear with me for a second. I was sitting in that seat listening to the choir, thinking about now the eighth time I'm preparing to preach at one of the premier churches in the country, knowing I don't deserve to be here, but by the grace of God, God is so good. We serve a great and mighty God. To the angel of this house, the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley, I give God praise for you, and will you help me to celebrate your pastor in this place? Y'all will permit me a couple of minutes. I know that we are headed to brunch. My mama and daddy taught me everybody doesn't have to be kind to you. Your pastor is one of my homiletical heroes. I told him yesterday there's a model, in my opinion, black millennial preaching that is effective. About four or five people who I place on that list. My pastor is one, but your pastor is one, and I've been influenced by him for years in my preaching and proclamation. So I thank you, sir, for allowing me to stand in this place. To all of those who serve in ministry here, Dr. Judy, my former professor, to Pastor Jackson, Pastor Elijah, all the clergy, all of the staff in this place, all the deacons, trustees, Urshas, little doggies, and cats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I'm grateful for Sister Rosette. I'm grateful for Brother Mike for your hospitality all weekend long. To Deacon Howells, to Deacons Howells, it's so appreciative of you. And to this young adult ministry and committee, I love you all. I appreciate you all for continuing to think of me. It's been a joy. It was a joy to share with them at the beginning of the young adult retreat. And then somebody asked, let them come back. So I am grateful. I do not take this lightly. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's a word from the Lord on this morning, this afternoon now. Comes to us from the book of Joshua chapter 7, beginning with verse number 1. Joshua chapter 7, beginning with verse number 1. If you have it, when you have it, say, I got it. If you're still looking, say, hold up, bro. I'm waiting for you. Hold up, wait a minute. Let me put some Bible in it. I'll wait a few seconds for you. And while I do, I'm so thankful throughout the day there have been so many people who come to support, so many people I love and care about. I'm grateful for my pastor, the Reverend Dr. Marcus Cosby, for allowing me to be here. I served under a powerful preaching pastor when I was in seminary, the New Life Empowerment Temple, and my pastor, the Reverend Linda Diane Stevens, is here. She surprised me, got me in tears, and so I'm grateful for you, Pastor Stevens. I love you. I'm glad you're here. To my sisters who's here, two of my sisters, Imani and Tia, it's good to see you all. My Howard folks in the house. Sister Gabby way up there says she didn't want to come to church at this hour. I don't know what she was doing last night, but I'm glad you're here. I love you, Gabby. You know? Sister Victoria Kirby, I love you, girls. Good to see you. All of my friends, all of my family who are here, it's been a joy to be here. Joshua chapter 7, beginning with verse number 1. It reads this way, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, some say Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel. Told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua. They said, not all of the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not worry the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. And at this, the heart of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there until evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that the Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe us out and wipe our name out from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded to them. They have taken the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possession. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against the enemy. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. And our key verse, and I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Now go, consecrate the people. Tell them to consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel, and you cannot stand against your enemy until you remove them. The Lord be seated. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The Lord be blessed by the reading of God's word. There are devoted things among you, Israel, and you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. The time that is ours to share together on this, the last of four sermons, Young Adult Weekend. I want to preach from the subject, and I ask that you will say it to the person next to you. Say, family, the Reverend is going to preach on this last service. A word just for you, and that is, get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to come and to proclaim the gospel at this, your church. And I thank you, oh God, that you continue to use one whose righteousness is but a filthy rag to be an instrument of your word. Now I pray, oh God, you have been with me all three services, and I pray, oh Lord, that you will strengthen me one more time, that you will fill me with your power, that you will sustain my voice, that I might be faithful to the task and the assignment that you have given me. And as we stand in anticipation of your word, God, will you open our ears, will you open our hearts, that we might be receptive to what your spirit has to say. For ultimately, God, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the person on your right and say, neighbor, God has a promise for you, but you have to get out of your own way. Joshua chapter 7, my estimation, is part of volume 2 of 3 of a biblical DVD set that chronicles the journey of God's people, the Israelites, from their Egyptian slavery to occupy in the promised land that God had for them in Canaan. Volume 1 in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, God is with Moses, who leads the people across the Red Sea through the desert. It ends with Moses' generation passing away through 40 years in the desert. He leads the people to the edge of what God has promised for them, but he's not given permission to enter in. Volume 1 ends with Moses being taken to a mountaintop where God lets him get a view of all his generation could have had if they were not disobedient to God's instruction. We take that DVD out and put in Volume 2, which has at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, God's servant Moses is dead. Joshua is installed as the one who will lead God's people into the land that God promised them long ago. But there are some things that God has given there are some things that God has promised for us, that these people learn that just because God has a promise for you doesn't mean that you won't have to fight for it. So after reaffirming his covenant with Joshua about having him to cross the Jordan River the way that Moses led his generation across the Red Sea, God leads them into battle at the city of Jericho, where he instructs them to walk around the walls for 7 days one time, and on the seventh day to run around 7 times. And at the sound of the trumpet, the men were to shout that the walls of Jericho would come crumbling down and that they were to go into the city. He said, I'm going to give you the city, but when you get it, destroy everything. Burn everything. Don't take anything with you, for much of the money has been devoted to the idolatrous worship of other gods among that people. And when we arrive at Joshua chapter 7, Joshua and the armies of Israel have just been victorious in Jericho. They have gotten the victory. The walls have come crumbling down. They're on track to get and to conquer and to have what God has called them to do until they run into their enemies at Ai. Joshua, as it was his custom, sends spies to see what was needed, and eventually they are routed by their enemies at Ai. And when Joshua petitions God as to why they weren't able to defeat an enemy that was much smaller than them, God tells Joshua in verse 13 that there are devoted things among you, Israel, and you cannot stand against your enemy until you remove them. My suspicion on this Sunday afternoon is that Joshua and the Israelites are not the only ones who know what it is to know that God has promised you something, has even given you some victories along the way, but somewhere along the line, your progress towards that thing was stalled, if not seemingly stopped. I mean, you heard God promise to take you back to school. You heard God promise to give you a wife or a husband. You heard God promise you about a child that you've been waiting for. You heard God promise that he would take care of your employment and your financial stability, to pull you out of debt, to diminish your diabetes, to help you to start a business, to move you into the next level of ministry or in your vocation. But you see enemies now and obstacles in your way, and it seems that you should be able to conquer them, but you can't seem to conquer what should be easy battles. And I came to declare to somebody that the enemies that we face, yes indeed, sometimes they are strong and sometimes they can hinder the progress that we have in our journeys, but sometimes what is needed to get you from this pit stop to the promise that God has for you, my brother, and you, my sister, is simply to get out of your own way. I guess the question for me on this afternoon is, preacher, how do we get out of our own way so that we don't prolong the manifestation of God's promise in our lives? Now, I believe if you'll give me a couple of minutes, I'll give you a quick three. You'll be done with me and we'll be on the brunch. If you want to hear what the word says, just say, preach on, Reb. come to preach. And the Bible says, if you're going to get out of your own way, the first thing that the text teaches me on this Sunday afternoon is that you have to learn to value God's presence over earthly possessions. That if you're going to get out of your own way, the first thing we have to do is value God's presence over possessions. Look at verse number 1. But Israel was unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah took some of them. And so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aben, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And when they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or maybe 3,000 men to take it, and do not worry the whole army, for only a few people are living there. And so about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes, and the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Church family, in chapter 6, Joshua makes it clear to the people of God that God would give Jericho into the hands of the Israelites when the men circled the walls of Jericho and let out a shout. And God does this, y'all, with the covenantal condition that when they got the victory, there would be no keepsakes from their conquest, that everything related to that victory had to be destroyed. There could be no extra funds to be added via Cash App to their bank accounts. No pictures or screenshots of their encounters with the women of the enemy's camp were to be added to the galleries of their ancient iPhones. Nothing from the last season of battle was to be taken into the next part of the journey towards the promised land that God had for them. And yet, for Brother Achan, despite watching the way that God crumbled the walls of their enemies through the shout of the fighting men, and knowing the command of God that nothing from the enemy's camp should be taken with them to the next phase of their journey, there's still something that Achan finds in the midst of the battle. There's still something that he finds in the midst of the struggle during the course of the victory that was too good for him not to keep to himself. Good God Almighty, something so intriguing, something so full of future possibilities for his own use, that he had to have it. Even as a result, not only do they lose what should have been an easy win, but in verse number 12, God tells Joshua, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy what has been devoted to destruction. My brothers and sisters, this afternoon, it is a reminder for me that sometimes the greatest enemy of our destiny are the moments of victory that God allows us to experience. Let me say that one more time slow. That sometimes the greatest enemy to our destiny are the moments of victory that God allows us to experience. Because there is something about winning. Where is DJ Khaled when I need him? There is something about winning. There is something about moments of victory that ignites our ego and arouses our sense of entitlement, so much so that we'll lose track of who and how we got the victory in the first place, and chase the things we can gain and possess as a result of the victory that God has led us to, even in the face of what we know God told us we should not touch. Good God Almighty. And that is a dangerous place for a believer to be in the 21st century American culture, because we are inundated, my brothers and sisters, by a society that suggests that the value of your life is correlated to the things that we can possess. That's why we have folks who are checking for the newest J's. Those are Jordans for mother in the crowd that can't pay their light bill. We got brothers who are living in Southeast right now, who are riding around in the Benz only to pull up to their mama's house where they lay their head. Maybe there's somebody in church right now. You believe you're better than somebody because you got the latest pair of red bottoms or Dolce and Gabbana purse that you just got. And because you are building a house over there in Bowie or Alexandria somewhere, and some of us have stalled our own progress towards getting to what God really wants us to live in because we become content chasing possessions and not God's presence. Sometimes to the degree that we will prioritize the possessions we can amass even at the expense of displeasing our God to get them. Somewhere I read the Lord begging the question, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? But I've gotten to the point in my life and in my ministry, Jewel, where I'm ready like the Israelites to release and admit. I can't say it all the time on my Instagram page, and I can't say it all the time on my Facebook page, but I'm like the Israelites in more ways than I want to admit on a Sunday afternoon, where I indeed love the Lord and have been blown away by all God is doing in my life. I've watched God open doors, and I've watched God make ways, and still I find a way to be drawn away from God's will and God's way by my own ambition, by my own wants, my own desires, and possessions I hope to accumulate. But after all God has shown me, after all God has delivered me through and delivered me from, the more I get to know God and who God is, and get a sense for what God wants me to do and to do through me and in spite of me, I've come to a place in my journey with God where I told God recently, God, you can take everything. You can take the car. You can take the clothes. You can take the job. You can take my connections. You can take the pennies from the bank. But please don't take your hand from me, because I come to understand that if I have your presence, I have all I need to survive. Plus, there's some stuff, y'all, that money cannot buy me. But if I have his presence, I can have acquired assurance when my relationship seems to become unraveled and my marriage is in need of mending. If I've got his presence, I've got a peace that surpasses all understanding. If I got his presence, I can still have joy in the face of loss. When the streets take my brothers and sisters, and when sickness is racking in my body, if I have his presence, I don't have to trip when they lay me off, or when the check is short, because I still believe that a cattle on a thousand hills belongs to my God. If I have his presence, I can pastor, and I can preach with power, even when my heart is broken, and my life is jacked up. If I got his presence, I can conquer fears. I can defeat addictions. I can transform my patterns. Is there anybody in this place that can testify that while the world is chasing possession, I just want the Lord to keep his hand on me? Somebody shout, God, I want your presence. But if we're going to get out of our own way, we got to learn to value God's presence over the chase of possessions. Somebody say, give me his presence. Second thing that the text teaches me, though, is that if you're going to get out of your own way, not only do you have to prioritize his presence over possession, but secondly, you got to keep it real. Turn to somebody next to you and say, keep it real. Look again at verse number 6 through 13. Says, then Joshua tore his clothes, fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there until evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? says, if only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. He's trying to clean it up. Pardon your servant, Lord. But what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and other people of the country will hear about this. They will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? And then the Lord said to Joshua, man, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possession. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against the enemy. They turn their backs and run because they have been liable to destruction. And I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them to consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel, and you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. Originally unaware of what Achan had done, Joshua sees this next set of enemies, and Ai sees that they're facing on the journey, and he thinks this is light work. So much so that he tells the people of God, listen, we don't even need the whole crew to handle business this time. He says, we can beat them. Let's just send 2,000, maybe 3,000. We don't need to bother our whole army. Here it is, that knowing we've got God's presence with us and knowing God's promised us the fight will be easy, it's not going to be a problem. We don't even have to put forth our best effort, only to be routed by the men of Ai, losing 36 of his men and returning to the camp defeated. And at verse 5, he says, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. And may I pause for 2 seconds to say that disobedience will cause things you should be easily able to conquer to destroy some of what you have. Disobedience will make things that should have not been a problem to turn on you and to cause you to destroy things that you can never get back. And when Joshua sees what has happened, Joshua tears his clothes, falls down on his face at the Ark of the Covenant, he and the elders, and he begins to question God with an attitude. Lord, why did you even bring us across the Jordan? If you are going to allow us to get whooped by our enemies, to become the laughing stock of our foes, we would have been better if you had left us on the other side of the Jordan. He says, now he points his finger in the face of God. And he questions God's motives and God's commitment to keeping the promise that he gave to his people. And this, my friends, y'all, is where God gets gangster. Because God claps back at Joshua as only God can. And in my sanctified imagination, I hear God saying, man, get up off the floor. Why do you have your face in the ground talking crazy to me as if somehow I, the God of promise, your covenant keeping God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, somehow set you up for failure in some dirty trick? Stand up. Because if something went wrong along the journey, don't come blaming me. I haven't changed, Joshua. Keep it real. Israel has sinned. Israel hasn't kept her end of the covenantal agreement. And you know why you've been defeated by your enemies. And in essence, God is reminding Joshua that my plans for you and my promises for you and my presence for you is consistent. And if something isn't going as planned, it's not on God, it's on you. But you got to keep it real. Turn to the person next to you and say, you know why. This is some hard medicine for somebody in this house who has been waiting for God to do something that God has promised. But you've been stuck in a holding pattern, losing battles that you know you should be winning, and pointing your finger in the air, mad at God for seemingly not doing what God said God would do. May I invite you into a period of self-examination? I invite you to challenge you to keep it 100 this afternoon and suggest that some of us in this room have stalled our own process, and you know why. You've been asking God to prosper you in your finances, and you've been waiting for him to build up your wealth, but you won't bring your tithe into the storehouse. And you can't wait to blow every check you get throwing ones at the stadium ministry. You know why. Somebody shout, you know why. When you've been asking God, my sisters, you've been asking and waiting for God to give you a man of your own that's a mix between Idris Elba and Michael B. Jordan. Because you've been asking God for the promise of a husband, but you won't leave her husband alone. You know why. You've been asking God to prosper your marriage, but you don't have the energy to invest at home because you always tipping to Oxon Hill to enjoy a leg, a thigh on the side. And I ain't talking about two-piece Tuesday at Popeye. You know why. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. You've asked God to take you into higher levels in God, but your playlist is all trap and twerk and no worship. That you on FaceTime all day and you never pray. You spend all your time on Facebook, but you never open this book. You know. Somebody say, get real. You know why. We got to get real with God, but we also have to get real with who them is. Verse number 13, God says to Joshua, Israel has sinned, and I won't be with you anymore. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. At first glance, I thought that them was just a reference to the pieces of gold and silver that Achan had stolen. That God won't let them stand against their enemies until the gold and the silver and the possessions that were devoted to the enemies of God were removed. But if you keep on reading, you find out that God does not just want them to remove the things, but God has them to get rid of the people. That ultimately both the possessions and the people who dishonored God have to be destroyed for them to get out of their own way. And y'all might not invite me back, and that's okay. I've been here twice. Thanks be to God. But can I get in your business on a Sunday afternoon and ask the question, who is it in your circle that brought something into your life that God never desired for you to have or to keep? And if you keep it real, you know you can't move forward in your journey towards purpose until you remove them. It could be anybody. It could be friend. It could be family. It could be a mentor. It could be a fan who slid into your DMs. I don't know who it is, but who brought you those new habits? Who was it that introduced you to that new circle of acquaintances? Who is it that brought you their doubt and their distaste for God that has polluted your home and now you only show up on second Sunday to get communion? Who is it? Because God says to us, as he says to Joshua, you won't be able to stand against your enemies until you remove them. I'm done. I can smell the brunch cooking. But I don't want to leave you on a bad note. We can get out of our own way. Get our own way first when we begin to value God's presence over possessions. We can get out of our own way when we keep it real with God. You know why. You know who is blocking our own progress and who needs to be removed from your camp. But finally, family, there's good news in the text. Because lastly, it teaches us that if you want to get out of your own way, God can correct it through consecration. Turn to somebody next to you and say, it can be corrected. That God can correct it through consecration. Look at verse number 12. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. And I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go and consecrate yourselves. Tell the people, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel, and you will not be able to stand against your enemies until you remove them. And in the morning, present yourself tribe by tribe. The tribe the Lord chooses shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan the Lord chooses shall come forward, family by family. The family the Lord chooses shall come forward, man by man. And whoever is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel. And verse 16 says, early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was chosen, and the clan of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen, and he had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by family, and Zimri was chosen, and Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to God, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. Somebody say, consecrate yourself. That God can fix it if we will consecrate ourselves. God says, consecrate yourself. That was a ceremonial cleansing or the performance of moral duty. But we don't just consecrate in a ceremonial way. But consecrate means to clean ourselves, to be washed one more time, so that God can use us for his glory. Now some of us are saying we don't have ceremonial consecration anymore. So what can I do, preacher, to consecrate myself? Well, the first thing that the text shows me is that Joshua tells Brother Achan in verse number 16, my son, give glory to God. And that's why no matter, y'all people, no matter where I've been, when Sunday comes, I have to find my way into the house of the Lord, because God begins to do something in the midst of my worship. And if we will consecrate ourselves, that's not the time to run from the church. But Joshua says, give glory to God, so that God can do something special. And in the middle of worship, God begins to speak and to expose some things. That's why we can't just come to Alpha Street looking to be entertained by the singers or entertained by the message, because if we will worship our God, God will begin to speak some stuff in the midst of our worship to expose what he desires for our own consecration. After Achan was disposed, both he and the possessions were destroyed. The things that could have ended tragically for him, but they had to go. And God said, after you come to worship, and after you hear my voice in the midst of worship, then you actually gotta follow through. Once I show you what needs to be removed, once I show you what needs to be destroyed, you've got to follow through and do what I'm calling you to do. But the last thing that the text says that could have been the end of the story, but in Joshua chapter 8 verse 1 and 2, God starts talking one more time. And God says to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up to attack Ai, for I have delivered your hands, the king of Ai, his people and his city and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and his king, except this time you may carry off the plunder and the livestock for yourself and set up an ambush behind the city. I gotta go, Alpha Street, but God is so good, because God declares, if you get out your own way, there's something in the next battle. I'm gonna give you the victory. And in the last battle, I told you not to take anything, but if you'll consecrate yourself to me, if you'll worship me in the middle of a setback, when you go into the next season of your life, you can take everything from the enemy's camp. And that's why I love the song that the old church used to sing, that even when I know I'm in my own way, I begin the song that we sing at rising sun, draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. But my favorite verse is verse number 3. Consecrate me now for your service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Is there anybody that feels like the preacher and says, God, I know you have some things promised for me. God, I see where you're taking me. God, I know you have a promise, and I decided to get out of my own way. Consecrate your servant, Lord. Make me clean. Make me holy. Because I want everything that's in that enemy's camp that you've got for me. Slap your neighbor and tell your neighbor, if you consecrate, God will make a way. And I wonder, is there anybody at Alpha Street that can give God praise? You've seen God turn your midnights into day. You know you've messed up. You know you've sinned. But God's still working for you. God's still working through you. Do you know it? Do you believe it? Say yes. Say yes. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my life. God, you should have thrown me away, but I thank you that since I'm consecrated, you use me for your glory. Is that anybody's testimony at Alpha Street? I'm about to go, but won't he make a way? Won't he open doors? Won't he clean you? Won't he fix you? Won't he use you for his glory? Say yes. Say yes. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I'm so glad he can move me beyond my sin. I'm so glad he can move me beyond my suck situation. But you gotta get out your own. Israel has sinned. Israel has lied and stolen and cheated. And you know why. your progress has been stalled. You know those areas where God told you not to take that. It didn't belong to you. It was devoted to something else. And you will not be able to stand against your enemies until you remove them. But the grace of God says if you'll consecrate yourself, if you'll clean yourself, if you keep coming to give glory to God, if you listen to what the Spirit is saying in the midst of worship, not just come to be entertained, but to hear, Lord, what are you speaking to me? And if you do what he tells you to do, Bible says that he shall be with you. That when you step into the enemy's camp on the next round, not only will he give you the victory, but you can keep everything that God has for you. Get out of your own way.